we're going to start with the crisis in the Middle East and the conflict in Iran and in Lebanon. Israel has announced a new phase in Iran conflict as the US warns strikes will surge dramatically. Israeli attacks have hit the Iranian capital Tehran overnight. The Israeli Defense Force announced a new stage in its campaign against the country, with US and Israeli officials hinting at escalating strikes. There's been a warning in the last while from in the Emirates from the authorities there. The AFP news agency is reporting that an alert was sent out by the Emirati government warning people of Dubai of potential missile threats. The mobile phone alert by UAE's Interior Ministry urges people to seek shelter as the city faces retaliatory strikes from Iran. Due to the current situation, potential missile threats, seek immediate shelter in the closest secure building and steer away from windows, doors and open areas, the alert read. So that is a continuing concern there. And that's one of the focuses of the Irish government in terms of getting people home. The positive news on that side is that another plane load of people made it home last evening from Dubai. This is a commercial carrier, a second flight, which came in to Dublin Airport, a second night in a row. The arrival of the planes from Dubai, the first of those since the war broke out in the Middle East. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Minister for State at the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Neil Richmond. Minister Richmond, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme. And what can you tell me is the very latest from your point of view about getting Irish citizens out of the area?
So as well, in addition to the two flights that have already come in from Dubai on Emirates, a third commercial flight will go tonight as well and arrive in kind of late tonight, early this morning. And then today, the first government evacuation flight will leave from Muscat in Oman. That's bussed about 280 Irish citizens from Dubai. They've travelled across to take this flight. We're in constant discussions with the airlines in terms of both Emirates and Etihad. They have a priority system working through transit passengers from a commercial point of view, and then from an Irish government point of view, we're giving priority to the most vulnerable, pregnant women, elderly people, those travelling with young children. We're now at the stage, Gerry, where 24,400 people have registered with the embassies, with the Department of Foreign Affairs in the region. That's 16,000 of those has happened just since Saturday, and about just shy of 2,500 people have contacted the embassies and Department of Affairs seeking consular assistance.
Where things stand, will this be the only charter flight, or you imagine more to follow over the next number of days and perhaps maybe weeks if this continues to go on?
Yeah, this won't be the only charter flight. It depends on demand. Not everyone who's offered a place on the charter flight has taken it. They're prepared to either wait it out in Dubai. To the credit to the UAE authorities, they're covering hotel fees for those who are caught who are on holiday or transiting. While some people are very aware that it is quite safe there, you talk about the security alerts. But we're more than prepared to put on additional charter flights as the demand requires. We're in line with other European partners. The first flight from the UK arrived yesterday as well. Italy had their first flight. Germany had their first flight a couple of days ago. So we've no hesitation to put on more flights. Out of that 24,400, about 2,500 were either travelling in transit or were there on holidays visiting loved ones on business. So the priority is that sort of 2,500. Those who are permanent resident there are a little less keen to move away. But if they do want to move away, we will, of course, facilitate them too.
Okay, and that will be done in as much as it can be over the next number of days. So how concerned are you overall at how long this has been going on? Some reports in the United States media last evening that this could perhaps maybe even stretch out into September. Now, that's a speculative enough report, but at the same time, it looks like we're not in for the short haul here, and that has all sorts of concerns, economically and otherwise.
Yeah, look, I'm really reticent to kind of make any sort of firm prediction of how long this will last, because this is a war. This isn't a weather front. This isn't a storm. This isn't a mass cancellation of travel due to natural means. This is a war, a very, very dangerous conflict that is spreading in the region. We've seen escalation in relation to Israeli forces going into Lebanon as well. That makes things a lot more difficult. Then the flip of it is there is no clear mission here. We don't know what will actually end this conflict necessarily. Anything could end it, but certainly it's increasingly worrying. We have taken some I suppose, solace in that in the last couple of days that the UAE authorities in particular have been able to negotiate sort of air corridors, and we haven't seen retaliation from the Emirati government or the Saudi government, which we're very grateful for. But obviously overnight we would have seen Azerbaijan and Armenia have been hit. There was a ship sunk just off Sri Lankan waters, so it is spreading to a quite worrying extent, and that impact is very, very real, Jerry.
Yeah, it certainly is, and a big concern. One of the impacts that we've had here immediately has been the price of petrol and the price of home heating oil in particular. Minister Peter Burke bringing in energy representatives for questioning with the concerns that have been expressed. Your party leader, Simon Harris, said he's very concerned about the messages going out and the reports. We're seeing really out-and-out price gouging, aren't we? What are you going to do about it?
Well, it's really worrying. Like, when a conflict like this happens, and we saw this before when the US struck Iran last year, we saw this before when there's been other conflicts in the region, and you can think back to the oil crisis in the 70s, or you can think about, indeed, the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. Like, so energy increases are expected. We're not too ignorant to know that if you stop gas production, if the Qataris stop gas production, or the Straits of Hormuz are no longer safe to go through, that will have an impact. Our major concern is that there has been price increases extremely quickly and extremely severely. I have been inundated with constituents and other members of the Oireachtas, and this isn't unique to government opposition, but people who said, well, our fill of oil has jumped up so quickly. We can see it ticking up at the petrol pumps. So that's why Minister Burke has, first and foremost, he's got the CCPC to do an investigation to see if there actually has been real evidence of gouging. Now, and I'm not here to speak on behalf of anyone bar my constituents who are concerned. The oil companies and the power companies and Aldoda come back to him at their meeting this morning and talk about wholesale prices versus Brent prices and crude oil and what the price was when it left the port and all these other things. But ultimately, there has been such a rise in such a quick period that is out of kilter with previous episodes like this, that we really need to get full clarity to ensure that there's confidence in those who provide fuel for people around the country.
Would you contend or concede that there isn't confidence at the moment? From what people are telling us, particularly in the area of home heating oil, is that the war started on Saturday, the prices went up on Monday, and the oil didn't come directly from the Middle East in that time. It was sitting in depots. So what is going on?
Well, like, Minister Burke wouldn't have commissioned the CCPC to do this investigation if there wasn't real concern, to be quite frank. And that's why that piece of work is being done. It's being done quickly. And that's why Minister Burke is meeting with the representatives this morning in Dublin.
What's going to come out of that meeting, though? I mean, it's fine to call a meeting and say, I'm hauling them in. It looks good, you know, plays in the media for a day or so. But what really will come out of it? Will there be any impact?
Well, the impact will come, Jerry, to be quite frank, in terms of the tools. The impact will come on foot of the CCPC investigation. But if you don't have the meeting, if you don't bring the energy providers, if you don't have the discussion, then you're doing it in a vacuum. It's all well and good people going on the radio or going into the Dáil and raising issues. But if you have the opportunity to engage face-to-face as a government, you take that opportunity and you take that responsibility. And secondly, you let the CCPC do a bit of work. If the CCPC do find the companies in breach, by the way, there are very real sanction and penalties for them.
With that in mind, is now the time, from this point on, that the CCPC should get additional powers to deal with these companies? Particularly, just for example, in the supermarket area, it still can't compel supermarkets to give it detailed pricing when it's investigating them. So is now the time for the government to give the CCPC additional powers across all these areas for future crises I'm talking about?
Well, there's two parts of that. Obviously, in terms of food pricing, there was a new piece of legislation brought in by Martin Hayden about a year ago that does allow for greater transparency. Secondly, my own Fine Gael colleague, John Clendenin, actually made this point about the CCPC 4 weeks ago, so long before the latest outbreak of this conflict, to give them those new powers. And absolutely, I think that work will be carried out to give them those powers right now.
Okay, Minister, can I ask you, does this have any implications for the government's trips abroad for St. Patrick's Day? Australia, New Zealand, the Middle East, other areas. Are you reviewing the annual exodus?
Well, ministers have started to leave for St. Patrick's Day actually already. Minister Dara Bryan's already in Brazil. Minister Niamh Smith is travelling. I'll be quite honest, I'm going to Mozambique and South Africa on Tuesday. I was due to fly through Doha. That's no longer an option. I'm now flying through Paris. It's just common sense. It's safety. There is a later concern. Minister Niall Collins is due to go to the UAE itself at the end of the month. I'm due to go to Jordan those are later trips because of the holy month of Ramadan and making sure that we go after that. Of course, they're being under review, to be quite frank. If we're advising Irish citizens not to travel, the government ministers are hardly going to travel.
Yeah, so you'd be reviewing what happens with regards to that from a security point of view or a perspective of the safety of ministers, first of all, but maybe the appropriateness of it, given like this is an unprecedented war and we just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, there's a whole manner, like, no minister is going to go to a country like the UAE and say we're going to have a St. Patrick's Day reception when there's a shelter-in-place order going around and we're trying to get people to encourage. There's a bit of common sense there, but there is a whole logistical thing. It's how do you actually travel to the destinations? But there is an appropriateness, actually, to be honest, to maintain our St. Patrick's Day program as much as possible, to go to countries to make sure that our values, our interests, and both from an economic and a political point of view, are heard. So there will be the vast majority of ministers still will travel, and any ministers who are going to travel through the affected region will simply reroute where possible.
Okay, a final point in all of this. As a member of the European Union, as a member of the Irish government, how concerned are you at the way the United States and Israel are acting? Unilateralism is the order of the day. Might is right. They really don't care what the European Union does. The rules of engagement don't exist in this war. They've said so themselves. We're in a new era and we're struggling to get to grips with it, aren't we?
It is. The world is a very different place. As Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, said in Davos a couple of weeks ago, the world is not as we knew it 2 or 3 years ago. I'm very concerned about the actions of a number of states, like the response of Iran to bomb facilities in neighbouring countries unilaterally is equally concerning. Ireland's commitment to the United Nations, to its charter, to the rule of international rule of law is very clear, and the processes that's why we have been so vocal. We want to de-escalation.
That's my point, though. That's all game over, isn't it? I mean, that doesn't matter anymore in this new world. The international law looks like a waste of time. Nobody's paying attention. The powers that be aren't paying any attention to it.
Well, international law has taken a hammering over the last
UN Security Council is you know, pointless at this point. Surely. Said that in the Dáil this week.
No, he didn't say it was pointless. He said it was challenging.
He said it's not fit for purpose and hasn't been for several years. It can't even agree on peacekeeping, let alone have any impact on what's going on right now.
And I absolutely agree with that. That doesn't mean it's pointless. It means it needs the desperate reform that Ireland is trying to be pushing through. It's why we want an African voice permanently on the Security Council. It's why we want a South American voice. And that's why we want to remove the triple lock so we're not beholden to the UN Security Council where we send our peacekeepers.
Yeah, and on that final point, are we right now to be as concerned about Russia and or America as we were about Russia and China when it comes to that, the way America is acting?
No, I don't think. Well, our concern is greater with Russia than it is about China.
Why?
Let's be quite clear.
Why not?
We'll make it quite clear.
The way the US are acting.
Well, the scale of what Russia has done in Ukraine is next level compared to what the United States and Israel are doing, to be honest with you. And Russia has been found to be flagrantly in breach of so many things. They've invaded a sovereign nation and plunged the world into three or 4 years of conflict.
It's bombing a sovereign nation right now.
But, Gerry, it isn't the same. And I think you and I can both recognise it's not the exact same at this stage. But there is real concerns. And that's why we're not giving up in the United Nations. We're not giving up in multilateralism. If anything, we're going to double down it. And that's what a small country like Ireland should do.
Okay, Minister Neil Richmond, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister Neil Richmond there talking to us about getting the Irish citizens out of the United Arab Emirates. That fresh alert coming through in the last hour or so to people's phones there, warning about the possible retaliation from Iranian missiles which are coming in.